I want to welcome Phil Ping back, brother. Praise God. We're going to hear from him in the upcoming weeks, in just one day at one setting in Ghana with a Muslim community. Over 100 souls came to know Christ at one time. Praise God. Yeah. And you know, being in the fruits of the Spirit like we are, Phil, he likes to support me. And you know, we've had an orange be our joy, you know, a pear represented peace, a banana patience. But there is a grape, a purple grape, that represented kindness. Brother, stand up. Thanks for supporting the fruits of the Spirit, Mr. Look at that grape. Look at that. Today I represent an avocado. You'll see. You'll see. Oh, who is like the Lord our God? No one. No one. We're in the fruits today, and next week we'll deal with the fruit of self-control. I know that you guys have been eagerly waiting through the fruits to get to that puppy right there. Self-control, right? I'm excited about that as we are nearing the end of this series. Three or four more messages. And then we're going to be getting into a new series called When, Jesus. When are you coming back, Lord? When is the end of the age? And what will be the sign? I'm excited about that series as well. But you know, as we look today at what God's laid on my heart, what do you see going on in the world all around us? It has been said that the 20th century, no doubt, is the bloodiest century in all of history, proving that just because technology may improve, it doesn't mean that humanity does as well. You know, our news media, think about it. Just watch the news with any regularity or just watch it for 5 minutes. It's full of reports about the tragic results of the wrath and the anger of man. There is a barbarism and a savagery in our country today, in the world today, and in the hearts today that is appalling. The entertainment industry, think about the entertainment industry, from what we see on TV to movies to video games, centers to the meanness in men by serving up films like what? Video games like what? That glorify gore. Glorify violence, glorify murder and war, and we just let our children play these games. We just watch these on our TV screens, and we think that it's not going to desensitize us. Magazines and novels, they add fuel to the flame by dramatizing the hatreds and the worst passions of the human heart. And we call this entertainment. Fighting and strife is so common in the home now. Look at our politics. Where is the camaraderie? Where is the true bipartisanship for just the sake of the nation and for the people? Because it's resorted to name-calling and slander and smear campaigns and untruths. Just if you're going to have a successful reality show that's going to make it more than one season, you need to show some brutality. It needs to demean, embarrass, and use people for profit. Terrorism, school shootings, domestic abuse, random mass murders are a part of the American diet as well as the diet of the world. We see this all around us. You know, Ethan, where are you at? There you are. My son-in-law, he and I are going to a two-month civilian police academy course, 6 hours a week at the Brownsburg PD, so that we can support the police, learn what the police go through, be better citizens in the community. And I knew that things were bad, but as we listen to the firsthand accounts of these police officers and see the videos that they show us, and to show us what they're dealing with, it only adds to the true havoc that's truly going on in our streets. Seeing all their gear to neutralize or with fatality and life. Why? To protect themselves and to protect you and to protect me from a society that is so unstable and violent. It's unbelievable what we're hearing in there. We were able, really, to experience in real time what it was like for a police SWAT team to bang down a door and throw a flash grenade in. And, you know, Ethan was a little nervous about that, weren't you, bro? Yeah, I have to admit, my heart was beating a little bit. You know, you're standing in their room, you know they're going to bang it in and drop a flashbang, real flashbang grenade in on you. And I mean literally standing here right there. And Ethan and I just happened to be in the front. And I'm like, okay. And what did they do? Just to help simulate it a little bit more, they made us wait almost 35 to 45 seconds. And then battering ram, boom, boom. And I said, wow. They said, what did you think about that? I said, that was so gentle. All of this because of evil, the evil of man. You know, the first night of class at that police academy, the chief of police came in to speak with us. And I wrote this quote down because it was shocking to me to hear this from a police officer, a chief of police. And he said, quote, "The kindness and gentle attitude of people is all but disappearing." And right there, we're two fruits of the Spirit. In contrast to all of this, we have the fruit of God, the fruit of the Spirit. Amen? We have love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and today, gentleness. We have this in abundance in a world that sorely lacks it and has no power to possess it apart from God. So in our subject today, gentleness, like a shining diamond in the mud, comes shining. I'm thankful for that. You see, in my life and in yours, because everybody knows my middle name is Gentle. Do I need it? I do. He wants to displace and replace all violence in me, all fighting, all abuse that we heap upon one another. And he wants to displace it and replace it with his gentleness, not just towards those who are nice to us, because that is easy to do, but even those who aren't, and I would say especially those who aren't. Wow. So with our gentle avocado fruit this morning, as she takes us through this, you know, why is she gentle? You know, she's soft, she's tender, she's gentle. Y'all like avocados? Did y'all know avocado is a fruit? It is. So let's look at this gentleness this morning. The fruit of gentleness that the Spirit wants to develop in you, wants to develop in us while we live in this very not-so-gentle world, amen? So what is gentleness today? Where is it needed? And why should I want it? Lord, I pray today that you will continue to develop your fruit in us. That, Lord, we will have a real deep-seated heart desire to allow you to produce your produce in us. Lord, may we be gentle towards one another and towards the world. Lord, may we really see why we should want this, where, Lord, we should give this, and why you want us to have it. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Well, before we move into the message, I want to inform you of something. And it's bittersweet. The bitter is, we are going to lose our dear sister Samantha for our weekly present. But the good news is, because of what's going on in Ukraine, she's able to finally not have to be here for a year for safety. But she is returning home to be with her mom, her dad, her church family, who you helped support. And I just want to, before you leave today, Samantha, we love you. Yeah. And you know, you're not going to be a stranger. Your family, your church will be on our hearts, will be in our prayers, and we will still look for any way that we can support you and your family. So make sure you go tell your mom, Ada, and see, I remembered her name because I ought to do it. And go tell your mom and dad that we love them and your church family, okay? God bless. Yep. So as we make sure you tell her goodbye today, big hug. What is gentleness? What is it? I mean, most of the difficulty that some have is being able to articulate the difference between two other fruits, kindness and goodness. It's very difficult for many to articulate these three fruits, that they're just not synonyms of one another. What we're going to see and have seen is that there are very distinct differences in these fruits. They're not just another synonym. God gave us three distinct fruits that all interrelate with one another, but have very specific usefulness in our life. So first, let's relate this word gentleness to kindness and goodness. Kindness, goodness, and gentleness, we must always remember, with all the fruits, are about a changed disposition in our life through the power of the Holy Spirit alone. You're not going to get this in your own strength. You're not going to have this from your sin nature. This is only produced by God Himself. So it kind of looks like this. With kindness, leaning toward what one does, goodness is leaning toward why one does what they do. There's that character. And gentleness, leaning towards how one does what they do. It's the what, why, and how. Don't ask me the who, what, where. So, kindness is what I do. Goodness, it is why I do it, from a heart of character. And gentleness, it is how it is displayed. And when you put them all together, it is all done in the fruit of love with a heart of patience and a consistency, we saw, of faithfulness. You see how that works together? So, of course, as we have said before, they all don't go together and they all flow from the fruit of love, which we saw is to love the Lord your God and love others as yourself. So the Spirit, He is working to develop a character in you that is kind, that is good, and is gentle, right? So now, I believe we all really do know what it means when we talk about gentleness, when we talk about being gentle with others. But just to make sure that we don't have the wrong idea, let's look at a few examples. Let's go look at the first time the word gentle is ever used in the Bible. And it's used in 2 Samuel 18:5. And the dichotomy here is amazing. Here we have Absalom, King David's son. He has led a revolt against his father David. He's tried to overthrow his father. And the uprising has been put down. It's been squashed. And Absalom is now running for his life. And he's running from David's number one man, his number one general, Joab. And David, with a father's heart, with a father's heart of compassion, he said to his number one general, he said to Joab, deal gently for my sake with my son Absalom. There's the first word, gentle, ever used in Scripture. Every parent knows what this means. Joab, however, what did he do? He did not deal gently with Absalom, but the complete, total opposite. He killed him. Far from being gentle, right? It's the expression of the complete opposite of gentleness. We know Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 15:1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Who doesn't know this from experience? You don't need me to tell you that today, right? How many of you have responded with a harsh word or started with a harsh word and not received the results you were hoping or intended for? See, harsh words in response to anger only accomplishes one thing. It escalates the situation into more sin. The gentleness can stop that in its tracks. In the secular world of the Apostle Paul's day, as another example, it was used to describe wild animals of that day that have been tamed. It's the same word, tamed. And of overly excited, spastic animals that were now gentle. And all of our animals, I've never been able to figure out how to apply these fruits of the Spirit in them. Did you know that a gentle wind is described in Webster's as a wind of 8 to 10 miles an hour? Very gentle wind. We speak of a gentle slope in the rolling meadows on a nice country drive, the gentle slopes of the terrain. As opposed to what? The beast at King's Island? Right? How many of you ever been there, rode that puppy? Wooden roller coaster? I mean, ride that thing at the age of 52 like I did with the Embrace kids and see if you don't get off and say, wow, when that dropped me into oblivion and suddenly threw my insides all around like scrambled eggs, banging my brain against the skull of my head in those fast hairpin turns, I was screaming, give me more of this gentleness. No, I know violence when I feel it. How about that gentle tap on the shoulder opposed to the punch in the gut? Do you know the difference? Sure we do. A gentle rebuke as opposed to a hurtful put down. And when someone says to you, hey, please forget, hey, be gentle with me, and they open up the conversation like that, what do you think they mean? What do you think they're asking from you? All these few examples can simply confirm what we already know. That gentleness is the opposite of harshness and roughness when dealing with people. Remember, in these fruits and in the context of Galatians, it's about what? One anothering. A harshness that unnecessarily hurts or destroys and lacks genuine care or love for another. It is the opposite of patience, the opposite of love and kindness, and it's not from the goodness of one's heart. It's from our sin nature. Being gentle does not mean, everyone, that the truth is watered down because you don't want to hurt someone's feelings. We saw this early on in Galatians in tough love. There is a time for tough love, and sometimes the truth will hurt, but it should be spoken in ways that do not unnecessarily or purposefully hurt. It may still hurt, but it goes to the motive of the heart. As we have seen with all the fruits, I want us to, again, look at the supreme example of gentleness, which is Jesus Christ. You see, the fact is, Jesus, our perfect Jesus, has all the fullness of all the fruit. It is Jesus Christ's character. It's who he is. It's how he responds. The Holy Spirit, remember, is holy and wants to make us or transform us into the very image of Christ. And would it not be normal and natural that the Holy Spirit would want us to have these fruits because they perfectly demonstrate Christ? Jesus said this in Matthew 11, 29 through 30. He said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Take on my yoke. What a contrast to the self-absorbed, prideful man of today, where the number one picture they take is selfie. What a contrast to the pride and heart of man. What a contrast to me. In my sin nature, when I'm not yielding to the Spirit, what a contrast. What's a yoke? And we're, you know, it's not the healthy egg yolk. Not that yolk. What is a yoke? A yoke was a heavy piece of wood that harnessed two oxen together so they could pull and work in unison. A yoke was not gentle and it was not kind. It was not comfortable, right? If you had this around your neck, how long would you say, "Hey, I want this off of me"? It didn't feel good. It was a form of bondage in a way, and slavery. You want to get a gold nugget that's really cool? I think it's super cool. And yeah, I know you, David, he wants one. Listen to this. When Jesus said, "My yoke is easy," the Greek word for easy is our word translated kindness, as the fruit of the Spirit here in Galatians, the same word. My yoke is kind. He didn't mean it's going to be easy to follow me. He didn't mean that if you come to me, I'm your great insurance policy, I'm your great pie in the sky, I'm your genie in a bottle, anything you want, life's not going to be easy. That's not that word. But my yoke is kind. The yoke here is used, that he uses as a metaphor for discipleship. The yoke is the discipleship of Christ. This word yoke is discipleship. Isn't that beautiful? Among the Jews, they knew full well a pupil who submitted himself to the instruction of a certain teacher was said actually to take on his yoke. You get that? Yet, though he is the Son of God here, the creator of the universe, the creator of all things, the creator of the very people he's speaking to, God teaching divine revelation, he was nevertheless gentle with his disciples. This, of course, is in stark contrast to the Pharisees and the harshness of the Pharisees of that day, of the hardness of the Pharisees who also laid very, very heavy yokes of burden on the people. When we are wanting and willing to work with Jesus as his disciple, when we are yielding to him, when we're learning from him, we will find that his yoke is very easy. His yoke is very kind. It has no harshness to it. It has no rough edges to it. There is nothing galling about it. We see in 1 John 5:3 that his commandments are not burdensome. You with me? You flowing with me? So too, when we come to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit starts beginning to knock off the rough edges in our life, to create in us a character that's less militant and more mellow, less rough and gentler in our treatment of others. And he starts working on that right away. So yes, thank God here that Jesus in his love is gentle with the repentant sinner. Are you thankful that you are the recipients of his gentleness. But let's not miss the wonderful, deeper truth that Jesus is teaching here. Not only is he teaching about their tangible world, but a much deeper truth. He says, come to me and you will find rest for your soul. For your souls. When a person came to Jesus for salvation and they take his yoke upon them to commit to follow him, to commit to yield to his discipleship, his lordship in their life, they are delivered not just from the harsh yoke of law-keeping, the harsh yoke of slavery for salvation that the Pharisees were teaching, and we saw that in Galatians 5. We saw what they were teaching earlier, in which one will never find rest for your soul. When you're under a yoke of slavery, a yoke of bondage, the yoke of the law, there is no rest for that soul. It is the opposite of gentleness. Jesus' salvation, Jesus and what he does, and what he brings through his grace and mercy is nothing but kind. Nothing but kind. Wow. You see, it's perfectly impossible. Perfectly impossible to keep the law, as we saw earlier in Galatians. But taking Christ delivers from the more severe yoke of slavery to sin. It delivers us from what Paul was speaking about before the fruit in Galatians 4:16. It delivers us from the desires of the flesh. It is the opposite of gentleness that comes straight from the flesh, in which one will never find peace. One will never find peace. One will never find rest for the soul. They will only find trouble, turmoil, sorrow, and strife apart from the loving, kind yoke of Christ. It's the opposite of kindness and goodness and gentleness, and it only brings a heavy yoke of consequences in our life, of reaping what you sow, we've seen. The consequences of hurt feelings, the consequences of meanness, the consequences of a broken relationship. What do they always do? You will carry a heavy yoke from that. It will be burdensome. It will be very difficult to bear. Jesus said, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. But if the Son makes you free, what? You'll be free indeed. Oh, my friends, I'm still having to learn this in my life. His yoke is easy. His yoke is light. His yoke, my soul has rest. Oh, wow. That true rest for the soul eternally, here and in eternity, and here in our temporal relationship. It's the macro and the micro all together. It plays out in everyday life as much as it's going to play out in eternal life. The real peace, the real comfort you experience from the yoke of Christ is amazing. If only we would yield to it. Amen? So the yoke is discipleship, which is following. You either follow Jesus, walking in the Spirit, implementing the fruit of gentleness, or you follow the yoke of sin, walking in the flesh, experiencing the hardship and fallout that meanness and hardness always bring. Wow. Let's return for a moment back to this amazing character of Jesus Christ, the great demonstrator of his fruit. Matthew 12, 17 through 21 tells us that Jesus was the fulfillment of the servant prophecy we see in Isaiah 42, 3. Look here with me specifically at verse 20. A battered reed he will not break off, and a smoldering wick he will not put out. These verses describe his gentleness and how Jesus dealt with people. how Jesus dealt with the one anothering of the world. A battered reed that is already broken or split, he does not completely cut off. That day is yet to come, but now he is gentle. A smoldering wick just about to go out, he will not snuff out. That day is yet to come. You see, this is an analogy for the weak and for the helpless, the broken and the vulnerable that Jesus treated with such kindness and treated so gently. Let's look again at Matthew 21:5. This verse fulfills Zechariah 9:9. Behold, your king is coming to you, what? Gentle and mounted on a donkey. One day the king will come back, not so gentle. But here in his love for humanity, that none should perish, that he came to seek and to save the lost, his gentleness towards them overflows. Think about this. Whatever negative connotations one may have about gentleness, such as weakness, people might associate with gentleness. We saw this when we looked at meekness. The King James word gentleness is meekness. It all disappears. Let all that just go away when you look at your Savior. It all disappears when we see the characteristic of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Almighty. No stronger personality ever walked this earth. No greater man's man ever lived. He could calm any raging sea. He drove out demons of hell, and he laid down some of the most scathing condemnations of those who would not recognize him and lived in sin. He was the man's man of conviction. He was the man of courage. Yet Jesus had a gentleness about him that drew all the little bitty babies and children and little ones to him. Isn't that beautiful? Look how gently our Lord treated people. Remember the woman caught in adultery? He did not excuse her sin, did he? And he did tell her to go and sin no more. But look how tender and loving and kind and gentle he was with her, in contrast to the typically harsh, hard-hearted Pharisees who only wanted to what? Stone her to death. Look how honestly but gently he engaged the Samaritan woman who had gone now through five husbands and was now living with a man. Look how gentle he was with his doubting Thomas, and with a crushed Peter who had denied him. Look at him as he ministers with the outcasts of society and the sinners that the Pharisees would have nothing to do with or associate with. How different he was from the rulers, the Pharisees, the scribes who used their power and their position without any compassion. They used their power and their position to dominate over people for their own advantage, to take advantage of them for their own benefit, so badly even devouring widows' homes in Matthew 23:14, just because they could, to insert power and greed. You see, power in the hands of wicked men does nothing, nothing at all, but corrupt and dominate and brings in harsh. Just as yielding to the power of sin does nothing in our life but to corrupt us, to dominate us, and try to destroy us, while the Holy Spirit, praise God, what is he doing? He's wanting to bring forth his fruit in our life, the transformed life, and replace that with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Because this is exactly how we're treated by our Savior. Man, I'm so thankful for that. And it's displayed, this kindness of the Lord, this joy, this peace, it's displayed in His patience and faithfulness. So let me ask you as we get near the end today, where is gentleness needed? This is going to blow your mind, the answer to this question, because this is a very tough question. Here it is. Write this down. Everywhere. Man, I love it when you can just make a point and it's just simple. You don't even have to think about it. Everywhere, in all situations, everywhere it's needed in the one anothering of the saints, of the family, of the law. It is needed everywhere. Here are a few I just want to leave with you today where gentleness is paramount. I could come up with many reasons. I just want to share with you a few where it's needed. It is needed in ministry. 1 Thessalonians 2:7 says, "But we prove to be gentle among you, as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her own children." Oh, gentleness is sorely needed in ministry. I want it in my life. Those of you who minister to others as well. It is needed in evangelism. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." This is why you will never see E.C. Grace walking down the street carrying signs saying you're going to hell. That may be true, but it is definitely a harsh word that's only going to stir up wrath. There's nothing gentle, reverent, or adorning the doctrine about it. Hell must come into play in evangelism, but that's not the first thing. First thing we must do is gently share with them the truth of the love of Jesus Christ. Truth presented or defended in harsh and rough and arrogant ways will only shut people down. It is one thing for people to reject the message of the gospel, but it is quite another to shut down someone because of the unlike Christian messenger. We want them to receive the message, the ultimate messenger, Jesus Christ. We don't want to be an impediment to that. We want to treat them the way Christ would have us treat them, to gently, in reverence, share with them the truth. Guess where else it's truly needed? It is needed in the unity in the church. Colossians 3, 12 through 14. It says, when you put on your clothes, let me just share, how many of you got dressed today? I'm thinking 100%. Oh, yeah. 100%. Good job. Man, it's great when we get 100% participation. Wow, you all got dressed this morning. You have some clothes on. But did you know before you come to church, before you come together with the saints, you have to dress your heart first? Listen to this. Whether it's hot or cold, raining or sunshine, you have six items that you always get dressed with in your heart. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. There's your first five clothing. Bearing with one another and forgiving each other, and whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. How are we dressing our hearts? Do you see all the fruits of the Spirit there? It's the fruit of the Spirit that guarantees and keeps through the power of the Holy Spirit the unity of the body of Christ, which is then an example to a world that is lost and perishing that they see Jesus here. You then are the light on a in the world and a city, a shining city on the hill. So, when you put on your clothes to come to church, put on that clothing. I suggest you put it on all the time, not just Sunday morning. My family knows full well when I didn't get dressed properly in the morning, right? It is needed, lastly, in restoration. Galatians 6:1, brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of what? Gentleness. Each one looking to themselves so that you will not be tempted. See, obviously here, this is a brother. They're already ashamed. They're already repentant, which is the first step towards restoration. But the spiritual person seeks to restore him or her, greatly knowing that before the grace of God go I, and that I too can be tempted to fall in my life. We're going to look at this in much more detail here soon when we get in and close out in chapter 6. But let me just ask you, how do you want to be treated when you fail? How do you want to be treated? How has God dealt with you, my friends, when you, by your sin, by your own failure, broke a spiritual bone, or you ripped a hole in your spiritual net? How easy to be unspiritual and rough and harsh with others. How unchristlike. I am learning every step of the way, day by day, as God renews my heart and keeps sanctifying me, that wow, I must allow the Spirit to let me be. Right? Someone said this. Well, here's the deal. This is what I want you to know. We see in all these verses that while the world says get tough, Jesus says get tender. When the world says get tough, Jesus says get tender. Man. Someone said, be kind and gentle, for everyone you meet is fighting a difficult battle. Be Jesus to them. Be tender. Be gentle. What is this really about when it comes to others? What is this really about? This boils down and is really about how you view people. How do you view one another? How do you view the world? How do you view the Lord? Do you see people as precious souls that are made in the image of God? Precious souls for whom Christ died for. Jesus saw people that way, and his heart was filled with compassion for them. Just as David, remember, asked Joab to deal gently with his son that he loved, even though Absalom had sinned so greatly against him. Think about that. There's a deep message there. Here is the father asking Joab to deal gently with his son. God is asking you to do the same thing as David asked Joab. God wants us to deal gently with those whom he loves and has died for, even though they too have sinned against him. Wow. And sometimes they have not sinned at all towards him. They have not sinned at all towards us. Sometimes it's just us who's sinning against them in our own impatience, our own lack of kindness. So what are the benefits of gentleness? There are a slew of them. There are so many tangible ones. Health, you see, there's actual health benefits, relationship benefits, peace benefits, comfort benefits, unity benefits, etc. We're not going to sit here and list all the benefits. I just want to give you one, and it has to do with you and the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a benefit we all want. We saw what? In the Blessed Life series in Matthew 5, when we went through the whole Sermon on the Mount, we had a message entitled Gentle Giant. Y'all remember that one? I actually had to go back and look at it myself. Gentle giants. Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth. Let me just say this bluntly. you will be blessed. And that word blessed does mean happy. You can have a happiness and a blessing right here in this life, and you'll be blessed in eternity. Jesus is saying, if you want to live blessed by me, a happy life, live it the way I want you to live it. My yoke is easy and light. Or you can live it your way and see how it goes. We know what that happens. Let's look at just one area. One area. What if we took the harshness? What if we took all the anger? What if we took any form of violence, any part of unkindness or lack of gentleness, the biting and the devouring of one another that Paul's talking about, Galatians 5:15? And what if we replace that with our family, treating one another with gentleness, and Ephesians 4, tenderheartedness? You think it could transform the family unit today? You know, we actually loved one another like they knew the love of Jesus. Wouldn't that be beautiful? That's what God wants. That's how He wants to bless us. You get the idea. And I want you to see this is the same in church. It's the same in your neighborhood, the same in your workplace, the same in your community, the same in society at large. Imagine if the church was gentle. And then I want you to close with this. How, like faithfulness, cultivating it, how can I cultivate gentleness? So bear with me. I have 47 things. The fact that we are called to be gentle so many times, everyone, and in so many situations, and believe me, I came nowhere near listing them all in God's Word. It just goes to show how poorly the world is at this and how much we need gentleness. But it's a struggle. It's a battle. But let me say to you today, it's one you can win. It's one you already have victory in because you already possess all the power you need to accomplish it through the Holy Spirit. You see, this gentleness is one of the fruits listed. And as a child of God, you have the supernatural Holy Spirit power in you to accomplish this and become a more gentle and tender person. But it's not going to happen automatically. It's not just going to let go, let God. You must engage. I want you to take a moment over the next week and look at all the last fruits of the Spirit grace notes you've been receiving from Taylor. In those grace notes, you will see every sermon, every message on all the fruits. I've given you 2 to 3 things to do to cultivate all those fruits. It applies to this as well. So I'm just going to today give you one area you can cultivate. Gentlemen. Repent. Start by repenting. Stop the excuse making. No one made you do it. No one made you be unkind. No one else, because of what they did, made you respond poorly. We must start by repenting in our lives. It's truly time that we mourn over sin, that we grieve over all sin. You see, repent means to turn away from. I want us to turn away from sin and turn this inside out. So how do you want me to turn this inside out, Pastor? Here's what I mean. All the anger, the frustration, the meanness, the hostility, the hardness and harshness that we give towards others, I now want you to give that towards your sin. All the kindness and gentleness you give to your sin, I want you to now give that towards others. Turn it inside out. Oh, how I'm gentle with sin in my life. I'm too gentle with sin. If you really want to get tough on your sin. And if we truly are going to be gentle, don't be gentle with sin. Be gentle with others. Amen. Ask God to forgive you. And in the poverty of spirit that sin should bring, make it a priority in your prayer to ask God to strengthen me, Lord, with power through your spirit, Ephesians 3:16, to be a more gentle person, to be tender towards others, and harsh and tough towards sin rather than the opposite way around. And you know what I guarantee? I guarantee with a heart sincere, God will answer that prayer. Amen? Amen. So it kind of goes like this. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and gentleness. Faithfulness. Yes, it goes like this. Through your love for God and for others, with the joy of your salvation, experiencing the peace with God and the peace of God, demonstrating His patience with you towards them, benefiting them through your acts of kindness, from a character of goodness and moral excellence, with a faithfulness of consistency, always, always displayed in a response of gentleness. Amen. Praise team, come on up. I want to be gentle. Don't worry, I will not. I'm still going to be the pastor God's called me to be. I'm still going to speak the truth to you. I'm still going to tell you like it is. But I want to do it gently. I want to love my wife gently. I want to be a gentle man. And that is actually a courageous man. What type of woman, what type of man do you want to be? I can tell you the Holy Spirit's answer to that. Right on. Let's stand and let's sing.